Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCentral.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Whether your radio dial is set to music or news or talk, each could be offensive.
But when it comes to making waves on the air, dicey language and spicy topics are turning up all over the dial. If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves. Turn on your radio and find wholesome family entertainment. Turn on your radio today and make your mother blush. Almost nothing is sacred these days when it comes to radio, except not losing the station's license. Radio personalities are pushing all the limits. You may find the language in this story explicit, but the Federal Communications Commission has never fined a Tampa Bay radio station. You be the judge. Are they airwaves or shockwaves?
I don't agree with all of it, but it's very popular.
Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And we're back. Just like that. One solid month. We are back. We are live. If you're watching on YouTube, willsyoutube.com. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete or podcast, well, this happened a few days ago. So you should join us live anywhere between 4 and 5 p.m. That's going to be one of my goals, is to get a time narrowed down where we will be live within a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But when I say we, I mean myself. My name is Will Kuntz, and my special pal, Anna Hummel.
It sounds weird.
It does.
I feel like we're gay.
We are. We are.
This is my special friend. yes, we're back. Has it been a month?
I think I think the last one was the 4/26. So we're a couple days shy of 1 month where we have not been doing this, which is crazy. It doesn't seem like that long, but
yes. Yeah, I know. That's wild. So much has happened. So much is changing, Will. And even though I try to embrace change, because that's the only constant in life is change, I still want to reject it.
You said it sounds like you're in an empty room right now.
I am in an empty room. You can even hear the acoustics because the plants are gone. There used to be a picture of some sort of Bible verse behind me. It's gone. Everything's gone.
So you're moving. You've had this roommate. I guess it's okay. She's been on your show many times, Rachel.
Yeah.
Who was a friend of mine at one point, but I've disowned her. Because of her decisions in life to ignore me at a public event. And I disowned her for that. And, life happens. But I've always held her in high regard. She's been a ray of sunshine in your life and my life. And, it was a pleasure to get to see her whenever I did visit you at your home. But that's all coming to an end. You're moving on. In your life, you're parting ways and on to something new.
Yeah, it's not just the roommate, but yes, that's obviously a huge part of it. Rachel and I have been roommates for 5 years, which is half a decade, which is a good chunk of life and time. But beyond that, the neighborhood that I reside in now, I've been in for 7 years, minus like a 4 month stint where I was robbed twice, but that's neither here nor there. But for the majority of my time in Florida, since 2016, I've been in these apartments, and it's all I know. It's home. It's my home base. The whole reason why I chose this place was because it was affordable and it was around the corner from where I used to work with you. That was the only reference point I had and why I selected these apartments. They looked nice. They were reasonably priced. And it was a 4-minute drive to work. And that's been my life for the last 7 years. And that's all about to change. And it's weird. And I don't like it.
It's bittersweet, I'm sure. You know,
Todd says, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
It's bittersweet.
It's true. I mean, it's true. It is exciting to move on, but it's also you reminisce about, you know, you're like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. On the last episode where the mansion that he resides in with his Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv and cousins, he kind of just stands there in the empty living room. And there's a solemnness to that moment where you kind of, you know, you spent so much, laid down some sort of roots in this building for many years, and now it's gone. But you'll have those memories always. But it is weird. I've always done that whenever I've moved apartments, like, just like, okay, I'm walking out of here and I'm never going to come back. It is strange.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always a sense of sentimentalness whenever I move. But the last couple places I lived, it was like 2 years, a year and a half. So even still, like a year and a half, 2 years, every day you return to that place, you get connected to it. But 7 years, this is all I've ever known in Florida. And I think that I keep returning to who I was when I arrived, you know, 28. I was in my 20s. I was 28 years old. I was just happy to hand out T-shirts and put up tents. Like, I was like, I'm turning things around. I was a bartender before. Not that there's anything wrong with bartending, but, you know, it's a little different when you're like, okay, I want to start a career now. And just how excited I was for life, how much I've become very jaded over the last 7 years, because I was just like so excited to hand out shirts and be here. But also I think just the excitement of being in a new place as well. You know, Detroit is a piece of shiz. So to be in Florida was so exciting, and, now it's home, you know, which is great. And I love it here, but it's, you know, kind of the honeymoon phase of Florida has faded. This is home. This is where I'm staying. I have some serious roots here, and, I'm moving to the burbs, like the real burbs. And I have like a house. Not renting, but, you know, like a 3-bedroom with a 2-car garage and a backyard. And this is the settling down life that I always, what's the word? Not like loathed, but like cursed. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to, you know, move to the burbs, the real burbs, and settle down. That's just boring life. And now I want that boring life. And I'm in that boring life. And, yeah, I feel like I'm leaving my youth, I think. Is that weird?
Yeah. I mean, that happens pretty quick. It happens for some people sooner than later, but happens to all of us. And like I was thinking, I went out for the first time to downtown, and I didn't even recognize it a few weeks ago. It was wild. And now I still spend the same amount of money on booze. I just buy like nice bourbons now for myself, and I drink it at home with myself or maybe a few friends. I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't need to be close. I was bummed when I moved to my current place because I couldn't walk downtown. But now I'm like, I don't want to go downtown. You just got to embrace it. You got to embrace it. You can't be afraid.
I am. Obviously, I'm making the decision to move. But this was kind of like the bachelorette pad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just kind of a kiss goodbye, a send off to that life. And now it's like time to settle down. And not to say I can never go out again, but I don't know. There's like like you said, it's kind of melancholy in a weird way, but also really exciting because this is what I want. Right. I never go out much like you. But in my mind, I'm like, no, I need to be close to the action. And it's like, why? You never go out. You don't even want to go out. But it's just, I guess it's just something I've always done. So you just think that I'm always going to want to do it and I want it close by. But for me to go to any bars, like real bars, I'd have to drive like at least 35 minutes.
Right. Well,
you know, like to a scene.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to go. Anyways, are you that far? I thought you were pretty quick. Can I say what city you're in?
Yeah.
You're in Dunedin now, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's downtown Dunedin, right. But if I wanted to go to Tampa or St. Pete.
You got downtown? Wait a minute. Dunedin is, if I had to choose two places to live in Pinellas County, it would be Dunedin and St. Pete. Dunedin's beautiful. I love Dunedin.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, no, it's stunning.
And they have downtown Dunedin, which is a great locale to for nightlife or just walking around during the day. It's much like downtown St. Pete.
Well, I think what I'm trying to say is no one is going to come to me. I'm going to have to go to them.
I don't think that's true. I'm excited to come visit you in Dunedin.
Well, I mean, like when people are considering alcohol and driving places, they usually want to stick to around where they are because they don't want to pay for the Uber, which I understand. But if I decide to like go out with friends, it's going to be hard to rally a bunch of people to drive 40 minutes to come drink.
I think you're going to be surprised.
Okay. Right?
I hope I am. I was thinking good. Now I have a friend that's more that way. So I can go visit and hang out at Caladese Island downtown honeymoon. Dunedin, honeymoon. Yeah, all that stuff. So
you been there? I mean, I'm assuming.
Wait, what?
Have you been there? Like, you've been to those places, right? Or,
you know, I don't know if I've ever been to, I've been to downtown Dunedin many times, but I don't know if I've been to the islands or not.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to those opportunities.
I've been, but, you know, just once. So I'm excited to fully embrace it, check it out, and live the suburban quiet life, which is what I'm doing now, but just like paying rent here. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. It's a little scary, but you know, you're gonna take some time. You're going to be nostalgic for a little while. And then in a few weeks, you're going to be like, I like my new place. And then it's going to start to feel like home. And do you plan on keeping in contact with your former roommate?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. She is one hell of a good time. I'll tell you that much. She knows how to have a good time. She's a great person. You know, of course, like living together for 5 years, you're going to have little discrepancies here and there. But for the most part, as far as roommates go, who were originally strangers from the internet, this was a knockout 10 out of 10. You know,
great rack, too. I will say thumbs up on that.
Yeah. Also, after living with three Chinese refugees, it was a breath of fresh air to live with someone who spoke English. That was a big plus.
One of the stories that you told that was infamous on the radio program we used to do together, Stay Woke, which Mike from St. Pete just referenced, was the story of Pudding, with the little hamster that your Chinese, ethnically Chinese, not Chinese American, but somehow you got locked into some sort of weird contract.
I was a human trafficker. Say it.
Yeah, yeah. Like you would have like literally people from China stay with you, and they would just, once their visa expired, a new one would come in. I don't know what was really going on with that. I'm very curious, and we'll never know how that happened. But you had these stream of people come in, and then this one girl got a hamster, a pet hamster. And then she just went back to China and left you the hamster, and you just let it outside, right? Is that right?
I don't think that's what happened. She didn't tell me that she got a hamster. So that was a little bit of alarming, because I remember I walked in, and I remember hearing something in the corner, and it was like, hello, is someone home? And then all of a sudden I turn on the light and there's like a huge cage, this hamster that's going crazy on this wheel. No one, what if I was allergic? Like what? No warning whatsoever. And then on top of that, she decides to name the hamster a word she could herself not pronounce, which was hilarious. She's like, I'm like, what? She's like, you know, pointing to like some tapioca. I'm like, pudding? I can't even do it. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, all right, sure, why not?
Which is an adorable name, by the way. Great choice from your ex-roommate. So whatever happened to that hamster?
I don't know.
You don't know?
She told me it was when she was leaving that she said she was going to get rid of it, and I just decided to stop asking questions. I didn't know if she was going to flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
She probably just let it outside and it probably got eaten by a snake in about 4 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Or picked up by a bird. So that's probably what happened. But it kind of escaped my memory because I was so enraged with anger because of her family came to visit for 6 weeks, and she told me as she was on her way to the airport to pick them up.
Brutal.
So that was a thing.
I was thinking this about this story because I know there's that cat there, and I was just picturing where Rachel just leaves that cat and you're responsible for it.
Yeah, I think she's grown quite attached to both of these guys. And it's crazy because I've now known them since they were kittens, like 6 weeks old. For 3 years, she got them on her birthday in 2020. They were pandemic kitties. And don't feel attached to them at all. Won't be sad to say goodbye. So it seems a little bit odd that I could live with something for a living, breathing, sentient thing for 3 years, two of them, and still feel like not sold on the deal.
Oh, that's so odd. I was going to say, because I know you're not particularly fond of them, but I thought maybe you'd be like, oh man, I'm going to miss this little stinker. But no, you say.
Well, one of them is annoying and the other one is completely aloof. Mm-hmm. So the aloof one is hard to connect with because she just never wants to be touched. She's always like in the closet in the dark. She's like the Daria of kitties, you know, just kind of goth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is very needy, which is endearing at times, but he always picks the wrong times, like when I'm trying to podcast and I'm like, shut up. But sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've always missed about, like, whenever I've broken up with girls or something, whenever we've, you know, made the split, is their animals. I always got attached to their animals. And I still think about, like, you'll just have one pop into your head sometimes and be like, wow, that thing's probably dead now. It's been long enough where it's probably not on the planet anymore. And that's sad. But they're more reminisce about the animals more than the girls, which is wild.
Yeah, I'm going to be sad to leave this place. Like you said, Will, it was like there's been a lot of times, good and bad, but like life was really lived here, mm-hmm. you know, through moving to a new state, boys, dating, breakups, cats, pandemics, murderers, you know, getting fired, thinking my life was over, getting hired a week later. Dating someone I worked with, doing it under the radar for like a year. You know, all these sorts of things have happened here. And being wasted, throwing up, you know, all these memories. And now it's just, you know, four empty walls. And one day, probably in the next week, I'll close the door, never to reopen it. So, you know, a lot just going on.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, embrace that and live that time and be nostalgic and be in the moment for a little while, but be excited about the next chapter. And
yes, I am. I am.
We are truly moving into the next chapter. The big news today, Tina Turner died today.
What?
Yeah.
Billy Wales keep on turning. Mary keep on rolling. Rolling. Rolling.
It's like she's in the room.
Greatest legs of all time.
Yeah. I have fond memories of her dancing at the Grammys when I was a little kid.
Now, you know how this is going to go. You know that there's going to be two more deaths.
Yeah, true.
Jimmy Carter, because they're doing weird stuff with Jimmy Carter. They're like eulogizing him and he's not dead yet.
Yeah. Well, that one's definitely typed up and ready. All they got to do is press post and they're not going to be surprised when that one happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he's going to die. And then do you expect a third?
Well,
maybe an unexpected OD. Round out the three.
I saw another death. The guitarist for Earth, Wind, and Fire died today, too. So if we're sticking to the musical genre, I would say that's two. And that means that there's a third, you know, happening very soon. That should be, I don't know if it's going to be as big as Tina Turner, but I would say that we're going to get another musical death here pretty soon. The other big news was Ron DeSantis filed paperwork today to run for president. People are freaking out online.
I mean, we knew about this a week ago, but it's like Elon Musk Twitter, filing paperwork, walking to the podium, taking a poop, like everything is, like we got it. We got it. It's coming.
I'm seeing just like the social media meltdowns from that announcement is why. It's just people like, F Ron DeSantis. Everyone else have a great day. It's like, okay. Whatevs. I don't know. I've had a weird few weeks with getting put in a box with my beliefs. Like, nobody knows. So I'll tell you what. I went and saw Dave Smith, comedian at Side Splitters, this past weekend.
Also, did you meet him?
No, I didn't meet him. I didn't really want to. I'm kind of out of that. Yeah, I would have been cool, but I wouldn't have known what to say to him really. So I went and saw him. He's a comedian, and he has this podcast called Part of the Problem, which is very good. I listen to all the time. He's in the libertarian genre. That word can scare people sometimes because they think it's like a racist person is libertarian. It's exhausting, I know. And one of my biggest nightmares, that we've talked about it, I think, before, is when I see somebody I know and I don't know if they're going to like remember me or if they're going to give me like, I haven't seen them in a long time and haven't interacted. And I'm afraid to go say something because I don't want it to be weird, you know? And I often get accused of being certain things that I'm not. I'm just under the assumption that everybody hates me now from my past, which is probably a safe assumption.
Yeah.
So I saw this dude, you know, David Wayne, comedian, local comic. He's got the guy with the birthmark. Yeah.
As soon as you said the name, I'm like, why does that? I'm like, oh, right. He has the rat on his chest.
Yeah. He's been on the bone a few times and you were there when that happened. I've always liked David. You know, David's been pretty cool. He used to come out to the open mics I used to run. And but I haven't seen him in a while, you know. So I assumed he was hosting that night because he was there sitting at the bar and I was walking in. We kind of made eye contact as I was walking in, and I'm debating, do I go say something or not? I don't really know what to do. And I go, yes, you know, I've had a beer or two. I'm going to go say, hey. So I walked up to him. He's on the far side of the bar. And I go, hey, David, how you doing? And he kind of looks at me and just goes, oh, hey, man. Not like, you don't need to be jumping for joy or anything that I'm coming up to you, but very aloof to the whole thing. And he goes, you here for the show? Yeah. Yeah. I came for the show. And he goes, oh, yeah, you're one of those effing libertarian dudes, right? And I'm like, I don't know if I would, you know, describe myself that way. I go, I guess. I don't know. And he goes, oh, I'm just messing with you, man. I don't know. I stay out of all that stuff. I don't really know what's going on. I'm like, okay. Well, good to see you. Take care. Have a good show. Kind of just parted ways there. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, he was about to get on stage. Maybe just wasn't in the headspace to talk to anybody or something, but it was a very awkward interaction. Was not particularly enjoyable. So now I kind of want to go back to that thing where I'm just going to wait for people to come say hi to me if they want to and just go that route.
To add to the anxiety you already have. I too was in an interesting situation over the last week. I was in New York City and I
didn't get pushed in front of a train. You didn't get pushed in front of a train. That's good.
No, I didn't get choked out and die. Which was funny because like, I know we shouldn't be laughing about people dying, but, when I did see the choking on the subway, I was like, my first thought when the guy died, I'm like, why didn't you tap? Like, I get put in that choke all the time and you just got to do that double tap and then all the pain goes away. You just stop moving and you submit and it's over and you don't die. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't think the guy, Jordan Neely, he was mentally ill and homeless. I don't think he had money for MMA classes, in his defense.
Right. He's not used to breaking boards like me, so right. I guess I understand. But I went to a bar with my friends to meet her friends in the heart of Brooklyn in Williamsburg. close to the Jews, but just in, safely distant away, because it's like a microcosm of like everything's in Yiddish. Both need to come over to Lakeland at Winner's Circle. Now I get to see the comments. All right, Eric, we'll make a date and we'll come to Lakeland Friday night at Winner's Circle. So I met some of her friends and I got, I love it when I get exactly what I expected. You know, I'm like, I have a feeling I'm not going to be surprised. And then I wasn't, and it was beautiful. But, you know, if you don't say anything, they just assume you're one of them. So they speak freely. And just the disdain, without me even bringing anything up, actually all I brought up, Will, was that I live in Florida.
Oh.
And I was met with the same, like, visceral response from every single person I introduced myself to. It was one of these, like, oh, where are you visiting from? You know, they know my friends from California, and they don't know I'm from California, but, you know, whatever. So they go, where are you from, California? And I go, Florida. And they go, oh, okay. Like the eyes widen and they just, you know, they think I'm trapped. Like they immediately think I'm one of them and I'm trapped in this godforsaken red state. Ew, gross. But the disdain that they have for people who don't agree with them is wild. And how freely they talk about things that, you know, many of them don't know. And what I love to do is you don't argue, you just ask one more question. Because everyone stops at, this is what we think. But then if you just ask one more question, everything unravels. There's like a glitch in the matrix and they're like, well, it's like a, in the studies. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those responses. And that's what I just kept doing is I would ask just one more question. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a woman.
Give me an example of the, one of the questions.
Sure. So, one of the girls I met, she like the friend group is exactly what I expected it to be. It was like one, it was like two Asians, four Sikhs, a couple Hispanics, one black guy, a few Middle Eastern people, two Jews, like it was, and maybe three white people. So it was like a very blended Brooklyn freaking, you know, we got the right quotient of everybody, equal parts, men, women, no babies, as far as I knew. And one of the women and I are talking, and she says something along the lines of like, women want to make more money than their men. No, she said men are intimidated by women that make more money. And that's why like thing, like something didn't work out. She said something about the money dynamic. And I said, actually, I think it's the case that, you know, men and women. And then I like started backtracking and I was like, so in Florida, we believe in, you know, we still believe in the biological sexes. I'm really sorry to say, you know, I was like, felt myself like backstepping. And I just said, I think men and women typically are looking for different things, you know? So maybe as a woman, you're looking for someone who can provide, you know, security, stability, resources. And I go, unfortunately, I think men are often looking for something else like fertility, youth, kindness, nurturing, you know, someone who gives you peace of mind. And she was just like, and so she said something about earning potential. And I said, I actually think it's the case that women, you know, are attracted to men who make as much of as them, if not more. Like that's what they're looking for. They don't want to, quote, date, you know, down, you know, typically, like hypergamy and stuff. And she just looks at me and she goes, I don't think so. And I'm like, and she goes, maybe it's just a Florida thing. And I was like, maybe, like, not that it's a human universal, but you know, and again, there's exceptions to everything, but by and large, it seems to be the case that, you know, you see pretty girls looking for guys who have a lot of money. Like that's not unusual. So
there's a denial of reality and a propaganda that people consume in their own little individual bubble. And I'm sure they would say, you know, like they were just going to say the same thing about us, that we live in a bubble and consume propaganda. Sure. So it's really hard to to even argue. It's quite clear we're living in different realities, at least two, if not many more. But it's crazy the perceptions too. Johnny and I were talking last night about, you know, Ron DeSantis announcing that he was going to run for president. Some ape of a human being called in and goes, Johnny, I agree with everything that you said about Trump. Now, your little sidekick over here, first of all, he starts out like that, so, you know, being confrontational, not wanting to have a conversation, wanting to be insulting. So had to correct that real quick. And I go, what exactly, what's your problem? What did I say that was wrong? Because I thought I had some very well thought out, poignant, you know, thoughtful responses. Maybe not poignant, but at least thought through and, you know, speculated on what I thought was going to happen next. And this was just like a boomer conservative dude who was a big Trump fan and said, well, you didn't mention anything about how Biden took $10 million from the Chinese. I'm like, we're talking about Ron DeSantis running for, what are you talking about?
It's the whataboutism.
It's what he wanted to hear. I got accused. This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm just constantly misunderstood by everybody. And I got accused of being a Biden shill last night. I'm just like, that is something. I've never heard that before. That is really something. But, you know, the his thoughts was just like, well, you're insulting Trump. I don't really remember insulting Trump either. I was just kind of speculating on things that I thought was going to happen, trying to think a few steps ahead down the line. But people just hear what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they're programmed by media that they consume to get triggered by certain things. This guy was as much of a snowflake as, you know, maybe not the degree is probably not the same, but he's just as snowflakey as a college student. He heard something that was anti his belief and threw out one thing. Like, it just goes, you're not insulting Biden enough. You must be a Biden show. So he heard his thing. And every thoughtful response that I had just totally went out the other ear. Now we can't understand each other, so it's like,
be proud of yourself.
I am, to a certain extent, but now I'm just like, everybody hates me and nobody understands what I'm talking about.
No, I think it's quite the contrary, because you're so nuanced and you have a brain that actually works. That unfortunately, that's an anomaly. Because both people that are going to call in and give you their take, they're either the left script or the right script. And God forbid you say anything against the script, then, you know, obviously you're not part of the left. So then, you know, the other side claims you. But then if you're like, oh, yeah, I don't really believe in God or something, that's, you know, something I get. Then it's like, oh, you're just a liberal commie. And it's No, I just, you know, I have a brain that works, so I don't have a script that I follow. But I get hate all the time. For example, I'm sure you heard about the Hamburger Mary's suing DeSantis.
Yeah.
So my take, you know, I said, as a libertarian, I don't care what you do with your kids. I said multiple times over and over again, I don't think that a drag show, one I've been to before, I've been to a Hamburger Mary's brunch. It's not a place that's appropriate for kids. I wouldn't bring my kid there, but I'll never tell you what to do with your child, because I think the government, by and large, with a few exceptions, should stay out of people's personal business. You know, so I kept saying, I don't think it's a good idea, but like, also I'm a libertarian. So if you want to bring your kid to a drag show and have them put dollar bills in a, you know, a man, whatever, a person's G-string, then that's your prerogative. You do it with whatever you want. And people were calling it, that's a horrible idea. You shouldn't do it. I'm like, agreed. It is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
But you should be allowed to make horrible decisions with you and your family. And people are like, oh, that's indoctrination. I'm like, and it's not indoctrination to take your kid to church and get raped by the priest. So, like, where's the real child abuse? Okay. At least the kid's off the iPad. You know, that's what I kept saying. At least the parents want to spend time with their children that are taking them to the drag shows. You know, there's a million ways to mess up a kid. Is putting a dollar bill in a G-string, you know, going to screw up their child development and emotionally corrupt them? Possibly, but that's probably going to happen anyway. So, like, whatever, you know, so people just couldn't understand the fact. They're like, why are you for this? I go, I'm for freedom. Do you understand? Like, freedom. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you can think critically, but you're dealing with non-playable characters most right. of the time. And it's so frustrating. Like I said, it's the same coin. It's just different sides. And there's different degrees. Like, I would say a college student who you see banging on a table, anybody that's, you know, coming in and speaking, that's saying like, yeah, I don't know, I don't think it's a good idea to put the drag shows or whatever for a kid.
Yeah.
Then they're screaming and yelling and threatening violence and stuff. And you're like, this is bad. This is real bad. And it, but then you got guys like grandpa that called in because I was too nice to Biden. Like they're doing the same thing. The degrees are way different. He was just being insulting. He was just, you know, I want to belittle you. But I'm like, brother, we're pretty much in agreement here. Like, I'm probably more on your side than definitely the other side. There's probably a sliding scale there, but why would you want to alienate a potential comrade, if you will? Forgive the language. Now I'm going to get accused of being communist. But
it's interesting. Yeah. It's like proving your allegiance to the group. You know,
it's all or nothing, binary, all or nothing.
Yeah. Like with the left, you know, God forbid you go, I think there might be a difference between genders. It's like, you're ostracized, get out of here, scram. And you're like, well, I don't know. I have a vagina and that person has a penis. We might be a little different. Get out, you know? So it's like, no, but I'm for transitioning. I'm just saying there might be some differences. Get the hell out of here, you know? So you have to like constantly prove your allegiance to the group, to the script. And God forbid you have like an independent thought, then, you know, you're not one of us.
And a lot of it's like negative reinforcement, too, where it's Ron DeSantis comes out pro, you know, banning kids at drag shows. And it's like probably people on the other side would be like, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think that kids should be at these things, but I have to take the ancillary position. Otherwise, I'm going to look like I'm on his team. Like it's just as much negative reinforcement as positive reinforcement of those beliefs. You just got to take the opposite. It's just everything's so binary now.
Right.
And there's,
right.
It's not reality. That's not how things are. And we're having this culture war over that premise. And that's the line that we are, that's the battle line that we're kind of on right now. And I feel like we're just kind of stuck in the middle. Like you're crazier, but you're crazy too. And I don't want to jump on your side either. Cause there's it's like, I heard a Ryan Long joke that was pretty good. He was talking about, like the crazy kids who are constantly talking about racism and how terrible things are. And then it's like, well, that's not really true. And then it's like, you go to your other, you know, right wing friend. He's like, yeah, I have stats. And he's like, okay, I don't want to deal with that either. Okay. Like yeah. You're probably right, but it's just, we're getting in the weeds with this stuff and there's a lot of gray area. Just leave me alone. That's kind of where I feel like I'm at. But I also embrace that, you know, my friends used to call me a fascist and my dad used to call me a communist. And I guess I'm still in that.
Yeah, you know, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. To be hated by everybody and challenge everybody's ideas. I like that. I like the fact that, you know, I don't think transitioning a minor is a good idea. And then I also don't think circumcision is a good idea. And I'm also believe that we should, you know, secure our borders, but I also don't believe in God. And I'm an immigrant and I'm a woman and I don't believe in the gender pay gap. And, you know, it's like you can't put us in a box. And that's a beautiful thing that you can. The fact that I'm like kind of pro-life, I guess, forced choice. If you were to put a gun in my head and say, is this right or wrong? I go, probably wrong. But then I'm also against capital punishment. So I'm like one of the few that I feel like are actually consistent where I'm like killing is wrong. So let's not do it at all. Where people on the left or the right, they embrace like the opposites. Does that make sense? That never made sense to me. It's like, you want to kill a fetus, but you want to preserve the life of someone who murdered 50 people. Mm-hmm. And then the flip side for the right, where you want to preserve a life, but then you want to put to death like a human, you want the state to put down a human being. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, I don't know.
It's a paradox. Sometimes you'll run into that loops. And, you know, I'm certainly not I try to be thoughtful and be as consistent as possible. But I know I'm a hypocrite on a lot of things. It's like, well, you want this, but not that. And you go, yeah, I do. I can't really think of an example of that off the top of my head. But I know that's probably definitely the case. Everybody's going to have their own bias. And it would just be nice if people were a little bit more thoughtful with their beliefs. But I also get that people are busy and they don't have time to really think about these things. They just kind of go off very limited basic information, memes that they see on TikTok, headlines that they read on USA Today. I saw tweet today. I think it was a USA Today piece. Oh, I can't remember, but the article itself, someone pointed out the headline sounded really bad. And you were like, oh, my God, this is racist. And then you look at the story and it's like, oh, well, that's you just debunked your own headline with what you just said. Yeah. So people aren't digging into the story. You don't have time to dig into the stories. You're trying to be as informed as you can. And unfortunately, it's a meme culture now where you're just getting the highlights, and the highlights are intentionally made to manipulate you to think a certain thing.
Okay, yeah. So to rile you up, because that gets people listening and that gets people excited and that gets people talking. And when they're talking about transgenders in the bathroom, you know, they're not looking at the deals we're doing with Saudi Arabia and the war in Ukraine. You know what I mean? It's a bait and switch tactic, and it's pretty smart. And Americans and not just Americans, but people are pretty dumb. So, you know, often people are they get aroused by the wrong things and things that are not a big deal. Like, you know, we were talking about this on the show today. You know, you look back to the 1960s, how many people were transgender? You're like 1 in 100 million. Like, it was so rare. And like, and now it's like, oh, 30% of Americans are non-binary. You're like, what? Like, that can't be right.
But yeah, that's...
Of course, I looked up today that there's some stat like 1900% up the search is the search like, am I gay from like 20 years ago? Because people aren't sure because everything's so gay now that you're like, oh my God, I saw a woman walking down the street. I thought she was attractive. I think I'm a lesbian, you know? Everything is just so infused with that it's driving up the number of these things that used to be very, very, very niche.
Yeah, so, it is. It still is. Don't fool yourself, but it's just, you know, socially programmed by, you know, powers that be to, for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't want to get in too much trouble, so I'll keep my mouth shut on that. But I have my theories on that. Maybe we can get into it on another show. I'm just about out of time here, but... It's just frustrating to be thoughtful and without getting just thrown into those boxes, and everybody hates you. It's not fun. It's not fun.
But it is. I think you're looking at it wrong. I think you should be proud of yourself that you're making everybody, if not think, you're at least you're doing what an entertainer should be doing, right? You're making people at least love you or hate you at all times. And that's awesome. The fact that people, when you say something, it's incendiary enough or inflammatory enough to upset some people enough to the point to provoke them to call into a show. You're doing a great job as a broadcaster. I think you should look at it like that.
That is the way to look at it, Anna. And thank you. You're right.
NPC, yeah, we should accept everybody. Yeah, we're all the same, but kind of different. Like these kind of just plug and play answers. You're saying something that's riling someone up, even if it's an old boomer who was doing something else, listening to the radio, is like, that son of a gun, and is like, that's awesome.
We have a IQ recession, and it's frustrating, but you're right. In that sense, you are absolutely right, and I do feel a little better. I know we got to get out of here, Anna. Thank you for your time. It's good to be back. We'll be back again next week. It was Wednesday, same time, probably between 4 and 5. I'm gonna narrow you down and get you to commit to a time. So yeah, people can expect us at a certain time within a few minutes. So please, you know, take some time and promote what you're doing, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, you can just find me on the Bubba the Love Sponge Show. Probably the best place to find us is on Kick and Rumble. We have podcasts everywhere you can find podcasts. And, terrestrially in Tampa, 8:20 a.m. from 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. And that is it.
Terrific.
This is the last time you'll see this wall.
Well, I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see your new place. And I can't wait to come up and visit Dunedin.
Okay. That sounds great.
Bye, Anna.
Bye.
That's it. That's the show. Join me on the Bone 102.5 here locally in Tampa Bay on the FM dial on the Johnny B Show, 8 to 10 p.m. For Otto Hummel, my name's Will Kuntz, noted libertarian Joe Biden supporter. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.